Well, thanks, Bob. I know that temptation to toy with the sound people. I've oftentimes, when I've been preaching, wanted to do this, just to kind of annoy them and see them go in panic. Oh yeah, now it's happening. Well, if you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 1, you can follow along. If you don't have your Bibles open, let me encourage you to open them up and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're starting into our series on Ephesians. And we're going to work through the book of this book, this epistle, and see what God has for us as the body of Christ. And the book of Ephesians is an amazing book. It's really an interesting book, but there's a ton in there. But if I could sum up what the book of Ephesians is about in one word, it would be the Sunday school answer. You know what the Sunday school answer is, right? Jesus. Yeah, any question that you get asked, you're not sure what the answer is, you give the Sunday school answer, Jesus, and usually you're here correct, and then you can go on. That's the Sunday school answer, right? How do you get through those tough questions in grade 3 Sunday school? Well, what is the book of Ephesians about? And it's about a number of things, of course, but it really all seems to come back to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In fact, the first three books seem to be all about how Jesus works among us, and what he's like, and how he has affected us as the church, and because of Jesus Christ, how we interact with each other. And then the last three chapters of the book has to do with living it out. And you'll see as we get to that part of Ephesians, you'll see that all the titles of the sermon have to do with walking this way, because the theme of the second half of the book of Ephesians is, this is how you live it out. So the first half has to do with Jesus. Has to do with God and understanding it. And we come to Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 3 to 14 is where we're going to focus today. And I want to dive into this, and I want to read something for you. It says this in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Do you ever get caught up in the Christian life, or the Christian faith as a routine? You know, and it goes kind of like this. I go to church. I do good things. If my neighbor needs a few extra eggs because they ran out, I just give it to them. And if their lawn needs to be cut, I do that for them. And in whatever way I can help, I just do good things. And then I pray before I eat and so forth. I do a lot of good things. Do you ever get caught up in a Christianity like this? Sadly, sometimes we look at a Christianity like that and then we follow it with the words of saying, I've been a pretty good person. I think I'm good to go. Or I think I'll get to heaven. But of course, that never does it, does it? That never carries the day. God never says, if you're good enough, you'll get to heaven. Or if you are nice to your neighbor, you'll get to heaven. Or if you just pray before your meal. None of those things really do it. That's a routine faith. But God is a little different than that. God is not a routine God. God is a blessing God. Look at this. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You see, a blessing God is very different. A routine God is all about, I just do a few things, and that makes me a Christian. But a blessing God is a God who is heavily involved with our lives. You can't do without him. Let me illustrate it this way. A routine God, if you took God right out of the picture, nothing would change, right? If you take God right out of the picture, I can still go to church, I can still do nice things for my neighbor, I can still pray before meals. But a blessing God, with a blessing faith, God is at the center of things so much that if God steps out of the picture, everything falls apart. Because God is at the center. And it says here that God teaches us that God is a blessing God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you know that God looks at you and says, I want to bless you? I want to bless you in a really big way, in incredible ways, and in ongoing ways, in ways that you can't fully comprehend now. Did you know that? It's true. So there's two questions that come to my mind. One is why does he want to do this? And the other one is, what are these blessings? I don't know, maybe you're just thinking of, well, what are they? List them for me. And honestly, they list them in the coming verses, but I had a tough time nailing them down. Because in one sense, there's three. In another sense, there's about six. In another sense, there's around 10. It just, depending on how you look at it and how you list them, there's a whole bunch of them coming up. But why do you think it is that God blesses us? Why is it that God desires to pour out this spiritual blessing on us? You know, the answer is found in verse 4. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for or because he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. It's this, that God looks at us and says, you're mine. You know how you look at your child and you say, I love my child, I love my son, I love my daughter, and I want to do incredible things for them? You know that feeling? Well, that's a small taste of what it is for God. That he looks out and he says, that one's mine. I just want to pour out on that one. Pour incredible things out on them. And then we get to the first blessing. In verse 5, it says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Predestined us to be adopted. You know, adoption is a theme that is close to my heart, for obvious reasons. And when I think about this in terms of God, that he looked at us and he didn't just randomly select, oh, okay, yeah, I'll take you. It was that, I want that one. He predestined us. He chose us ahead of times and said, I want that one to be my child. This theme of adoption is an amazing topic, right? Sometimes we think of it in terms of just relationship. You adopt somebody in and becomes yours, but there's more going on here. I'm not sure how many of your translations translated adopted as sons. Maybe it says adopted as children, or adopted as sons and daughters, or just adopted. My translation says adopted as sons, and it's actually a really literal translation when it says adopted as sons. And here's the reason why. See, there's something really important for us to understand is the son part. You know, in the ancient world, it's different today. You see, if you have 5 children, and you have an inheritance, and you pass it away, hopefully, you're splitting it 5 ways. Right? That's the way inheritance transfers on. And you may have sons, you may have daughters. It doesn't really make that much of a difference when it comes to your will. But it was different in ancient times. Who received the inheritance? The sons. The sons received it. The daughters didn't, because the idea was the daughters will marry into another family, and they receive their inheritance through their new family. But they didn't receive the inheritance from their biological father. But God says something really special here. He says, you know something? Every one of you, doesn't matter whether you are a man or a woman, whether you're tall or short, it doesn't matter your intellect, your Bible knowledge, none of this matters. Every one of you, every single one of you gets the privileged position of being an heir of the Almighty God. Isn't that incredible? See, God overrides the culture of the day by saying, you're all in that privileged position. You're all heirs of the Almighty God. That's incredible. Now, that should cause you to be amazed, but that should also cause you to do something else. Take a look at the end of verse 14. It says this, and this sums it all up. It says, to the praise of his glory. This kind of thing should drive you to praise. Drive you to praise the Almighty God. Because God looks at us and says, I have something very special for you. I have an inheritance. Now, you ask that question, what is this inheritance that God has for us? And the answer is, we don't really know fully, do we? We get little glimpses of it in the Bible. We know that he rewards us in heaven. We know that, or in eternity. We know that he has something very special for us. But we really don't know all the ins and outs, do we? We just know it's going to be awesome. We know it's going to be amazing. In Rwanda, one of the things we learned about the Rwandan culture when we were there, we learned a little bit about the way Rwandans view adoption. Over the last number of years, we've learned a lot about how Canadians view adoption, but how Rwandans view adoption is very different. You see, they may be open to the idea of adoption, but it's with a special twist. there to illustrate it, there was this family we were hearing about, it, this woman who had some children, and they were growing up and they were moved out, and after they were adults, she wanted to adopt a couple of children. So she started, I guess, looking at this seriously and talking to her family, and her kids growing up and moved out of the house were all excited about it, and we're all on board and excited about the idea of adopting. Until they found out something. Until they found out that the mom planned on making them fully her kids. In other words, she planned on including them in the inheritance. The kids got very angry very quick and put a stop to the adoption. You see, in the Rwandan culture, the idea of sharing your inheritance with anyone but your biological children is abhorrent to them. But when it comes to God, he says, you know what? All of you become fully mine. Fully mine. Now, this isn't something that we fully experience right now. We get a little taste of this right now, but we get the greater taste of it later when we stand before God. And you'll find with these blessings that we receive, they're mainly a foretaste of what is to come, with a little touch of what's to come of right now. But he says this at the end of the verse 5 there. He says, to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God wants to do that. You see, it's his desire to look at you and say, you're my child. You receive the privileged position of my heir, of receiving this inheritance, and it gives me great pleasure to do this. I want to do that. You know, I think of my own kids, and one of the things that's interesting is oftentimes in life we get what we call ambition, and we think to ourselves, I want to reach this point or whatever. But what's interesting is with our children, we look at them oftentimes and we say, I want them to exceed anything I could reach. You know that feeling? I want them to be far greater than any height I could reach. I want them to do more. I want them to accomplish more. I want them to go farther. I want them to be greater. You see, there's this pleasure in looking at your children and pouring out incredible things. And that's what God has for us, but much greater than what we have. He wants to pour incredible things on us. In accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gives us, given us in the one he loves. And then we have the next blessing, blessing number 2, redemption and forgiveness. In him we have redemption through his blood. Do you know that redemption is costly? See, the idea is that you've lost something, and you have to just not find it, but you have to buy it back. How did Jesus buy us back? On the cross. What it says, redemption through his blood. It was a costly thing. And you know how once a month we have communion? And I talk oftentimes about not allowing it to become a formality in our lives. It's the difference between the routine God and the blessing God. You see, the routine God, you pass the cup around, and you take that little tiny cup, and you bow your head at the appropriate time, you take a sip, and the same with the bread, and you go through the process, and then you go on with your life. That's the routine, but with the blessing, it's totally different. It stops, and you recognize the redemption we have through his blood, because that cup symbolizes Jesus' blood poured out for us. Salvation. And that bread is not just a piece of bread. It symbolizes Jesus' body broken for us. Jesus died on the cross, willingly gave up his life for us. That is the blessing God, the God that comes to us and says, I want to give so much to all of you. Redemption and forgiveness. Now, the interesting thing about redemption and forgiveness is redemption buys us back. Forgiveness lets all the sin go. Do you know what it is that keeps us from God? What is it that keeps us away from him? Sin. It's that small little word, sin. And yet that creates a huge divide between us and God. Do you see kind of something pointing back to the whole adoption as sons? How do we get into this relationship of truly there with God? God takes the thing, the very thing that keeps us from him, sin, and gets rid of it through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The first blessing is that Jesus says to us, you're mine. In every way, you're completely mine. And the second one is, and that thing that keeps you away from me, the thing that stands between us, the thing that's a problem that you want to take care of on your own and that you struggle with on your own, I'm going to take care of it. completely. That's not a routine God. That's the blessing God. So we go on from here. We recognize that God will bring about his purpose. I love this next little bit, and I struggled with whether or not this was a spiritual blessing. You see, as you go through this, you know how when you pray before a meal, you say something like this: Lord, we thank you for this food that you have provided, and we ask that you'd bless the hands of those who prepared it. And we go through this kind of formal prayer, and we say amen. Have you ever compared that with the way a child prays? Dear Jesus, thank you for my peas, and thank you for my carrots, although I don't like my carrots, but mommy says they're good for me, so I'll eat them, but maybe not all of them. And thank you for my chicken, and somebody will whisper, it's pork. And thank you for my juice, and then the mom's thinking to themselves, it's going to get a real nasty shock when they find out it's milk. And, you know, and they start saying, thanking God for the fork and for the spoon and for the knife. One of the things that Juanita and I love to do is listen to Ezra pray, because it gives us a recap of the day, things that we may not want to have found out. You see, when a child prays, it's all over the place, and it's detailed, and it covers everything and anything. And that's the way the first 14 verses of Ephesians seems to be. It goes all over the place. It's almost as if Paul is excited, and he's just going here and there and here and there, and he talks about, you're adopted as sons. You get the inheritance. And by the way, you're redeemed, and you're forgiven. And oh, let me talk a little bit about the purpose of God. It's just amazing how he just kind of goes all over the place. And he says this, and made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. And what is that mystery of his will? What is it that he wants to accomplish? And it's this, right at the end, to bring all things, end of verse 10, to bring all things in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ. His purpose is for Jesus to rule. You see, with a routine God, Jesus can't be head. Jesus can't rule in a routine God. You see, because a routine God, you can go about your business and God can be on the shelf and God can sit over there. And if you remove God from the picture, you can just go on with things. It doesn't affect anything. But with a blessing God, that God that's right in there with us, that God that is actively involved in our lives and changing everything, that God can be head. That God can rule over our lives and lead us. That's the blessing God. And God's purpose is that he would rule in all things. So the first one is that God would make us heirs, truly heirs of God. The second one is this, is that God redeems us at a price. Who pays the price? Not us, Jesus Christ. He redeems us and he forgives us, cleanses us from our sins. And the third one is this, in verse 11, in him... Maybe some of your translations do this a little differently. This is a tricky one to translate, and I struggled with it a lot as to why the NIV translated it quite this way. But the word means this, that we have been received as an inheritance. It's very different than what we just read, isn't it? You see, we were adopted as sons, and that means we get that position, that privileged position, that legal position before God's eyes, of being the heir. But then God turns around and says, we're the inheritance. Do you see that? In verse 18, it says it again. It says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his inglorious inheritance in the saints. Did you know that you are God's inheritance? You do know that? You do now. I hope so, because, you know, to be honest, you know, an inheritance, it comes obviously through a difficult means here and now, right? We lose someone we love, and the inheritance is passed on. But in God's order of things, it's very different. You see, we go to heaven to be with him, and we get to experience him in every aspect and in every way, and that's where we receive the inheritance. But God is also looking forward to that day as well, because he's waiting for his inheritance. It's us. He's excited about that. In him, we have also received an inheritance, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In other words, this is what he intended. All along, he was looking around and saying, Lloyd, you're my inheritance. Isn't that incredible? Jen, you're my inheritance. Isn't that incredible? We go through this and we realize we are the inheritance. And we come back to that last part of verse 14 again. To the what? To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. That's incredible. So the first one is simply this, that we are the heirs of God. And he has something very special for us. The second one is that we have been redeemed and forgiven. And the third one is we're the inheritance. We're the prize for God. He's looking forward to having us for all of eternity. And then he goes on to salvation. And it's funny as we go through this because I think, why didn't he start with this point? But once again, it almost seems to be a thank you for the peas and the carrots and the fork and my cup. He says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The message that Jesus came and died for us. The message is that we were far from God because of our sins, and God called us to him and offers the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of the salvation. But it's not enough to hear, is it? You see, there's two steps that we go through. We hear, and then we accept. We believe. It says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. You see, you have to believe or else it's just words in your ears. It's just words rattling around in your mind. It takes faith. Remember what Scripture says? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to enter into the kingdom of God. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then it follows it with this, and you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You are marked in him with a seal. I wanted to use a different word because marked seems so general. What about the word stamped? Stamped. It's like God comes up with a permanent stamp, not one of those ones that washes away with soap over a few days. Comes up and he stamps you on the back of your hand or on your forehead or something like that, something you're not going to lose. And he stamps you with these words, the Holy Spirit. Not just words, though. With the actual Holy Spirit. So that one day we stand before God and he looks down and he sees the Holy Spirit on our lives and he says, that one's mine. That's one of my heirs. That one's been redeemed. That one's been forgiven. Come on, spend eternity with me. My inheritance is finally here. What an incredible picture for us. Paul starts out the book with a message of hope. Now, the interesting thing is none of these are entirely for the future. We get a taste of all of them here. You see, we experience a little bit of this inheritance here. We experience a little bit of redemption and forgiveness here. We experience the inheritance, being God's inheritance here, but we receive it fully when we stand before the Almighty God. This is a message of hope, looking forward to what we have in the future. And do you notice that every part of the Trinity is involved in this? Sometimes we get caught up and we think that, okay, Jesus Christ saves us and we just stop there. But every part of the Trinity is involved in this. The Father desires us. The Son of God goes and gets us, redeems us, and the Holy Spirit is there on our lives, guaranteeing our salvation. So what do you do with this? Where do you take this? With the blessing God. How do you live this out? The reality is that we come back to that issue of inheritance, that God has given us something special. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? We think of the prodigal son that goes away and he spends his inheritance and comes back and he has nothing. And the father accepts him as his son. But there's the other brother, isn't there, that sits there. And he comes up and he complains at one point and he says, you've never given me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. Do you remember the response of the father? Do you remember what it was? What was it? It's yours. The father turns around and he says, you've got it all. What are you complaining about? You've never received this or never received that. Or I've never given. I've given it all to you. It's all yours. You see, part of living out the inheritance now is recognizing that God has poured out an unbelievable amount on us right now. And we live that out through faith and trusting God. Trusting God in his provision. Trusting God in his love. Trusting God in his forgiveness. Trusting God in his strength. We live that out, that portion of our inheritance, through faith. And when we set faith aside, we end up with a routine God. When we grab hold of faith and we cover every aspect of our lives with trusting God in all things, we end up in a spot where we have the blessing God. The blessing God or the routine God. So what is it for us? Do we go through the routine or do we exist and live fully with the blessing God? I would encourage you, as we go through the book of Ephesians, and this is just the start of it, of course. As we go through the book of Ephesians, read it. And not just once, not just twice. There's 6 chapters in the book, and as we study through the book of Ephesians, I'd encourage you, read a chapter a day. You'll get through the whole book in about a week. And you'll become more and more familiar as we study through this. And it's exciting what we see. We talk about everything from our lives being changed by Jesus Christ, to the relationship between Gentile believers and Jewish believers, which was a challenging one for them back in the first century. We talk about how to live wisely. We talk about how to walk in unity. Study the book of Ephesians as we go through this, and prepare your own heart as we study God's word. But hold on to this truth. God is not a God of routine. God is a God of blessing that wants to get involved in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a blessing God, and we ask that we would be able to live this out, to fully trust, to fully have faith, to fully believe in all areas of our lives. I pray that we would not be like the older son saying, Lord, you've never given us anything, but instead say, it's all mine, and enjoy it and experience it as the body of Christ. In your precious name, amen.